everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks, Tom Engineering and producing the show. Tom, let me ask you a little quiz here to start the Buckmaster show on this Thursday. How many rain events have we had in the year 2021 in Tucson?
If it's been more than one, I'd be surprised.
It is basically one. It went over, you know, kind of a couple of day event, but that's it. And we are facing a major drought here. We need rain desperately. And we're, of course, all hoping it's not going to be another non-soon that we had last year with the summer rains going AWOL.
I can give you a little hope.
Why?
The National Weather Service is forecasting a 20% chance for showers Wednesday.
I will take it. Oh, thank you. You made my day. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the 25th of February, 2021. We are now in our 11th year here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed at buckmastershow.com from kvoi.com. But we do have an archive of over 10 years worth of programs for you at buckmastershow.com. And the program is posted to our website within about a couple of hours of its conclusion, so you may enjoy it on the podcast. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Phoenix and Will Humble. Will is the Executive Director of the Arizona Public Health Association. This man has tremendous experience in public health, 30 years. Two decades of those 30 years at the Arizona Department of Health Services. He served in a variety of capacities, including the agency's director from 2009 to 2015. Most recently, he served as a health policy director at the University of Arizona from 2015 to 2017. And he continues his health policy role as an adjunct professor at the UA Zuckerman College of Public Health. Will, how are you today?
Hey, good morning, or actually good afternoon, Bill.
We're into the afternoon. I get a sense, it's a feeling I get that things are really starting to look up. And I think that sense is actually being backed by some of these case numbers that I'm seeing. I just took a look at the dashboard that's put out by your former agency, the Arizona Department of Health. Less than 1,000 cases reported of COVID in the state of Arizona, less than 500 in Maricopa County, and only, of course, one case is too many, but less than 200 here in Pima County. Have we turned the corner, Will Humble?
Well, yeah, I think the worst of the worst was probably that second week in January. That was probably the worst of the entire pandemic. And the numbers that are coming in the last few days looking a lot like what we had been seeing around mid-November, right before the huge exponential run-up in cases that we saw just before, through Thanksgiving, and of course, traveling all the way through December and January. So you're right. Things are definitely getting better, both from the perspective of new cases coming in, but importantly for new hospitalizations. And now, finally, after about an eight, 10-week hiatus, people are actually able to get non-emergency procedures done within the hospitals, you know, heart surgeries and knee and hip replacements and those sorts of things. There's people suffering for a long time that haven't been able to get into the hospital. And so one of the things you see, interestingly, in the data is that hospitals are still full. It's just that fewer and fewer of them are in there for COVID. So I think we're in ICUs, we're in the 30% range of the persons in ICUs are in there for COVID-19. And so basically what's happening is fewer and fewer people are in the hospital for COVID, which means more and more people who need procedures are able to actually finally get them. And a lot of those procedures require a day or two, you know, after the surgery.
It's all Well, it's almost like we're starting to slowly see the healthcare system in the state of Arizona return to somewhat of a normal situation.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we're seeing now what we saw in August. Can you remember what August was like?
Oh, yeah.
The bars, restaurants, and nightclubs were closed. July was horrible. They closed the nightclubs and bars. And then by late August, people were beginning to get those procedures. Actually, mid-August, people were getting those procedures again and into September and October. It's going to be a long time before the hospitals, doctors, and others are able to dig out from underneath what, you know, this enormous amount of procedures that people need that couldn't get them for all those weeks. But at least we've started on that path, and that's a good thing.
Well, Dr. Matt Hines was with us on the show here Monday. Dr. Hines is a newly elected Pima County supervisor. He is a hospitalist over at Tucson Medical Center, and now he is a member of the Board of Supervisors. We had a very interesting conversation, Will, about health care and how it's going to look after COVID. Dr. Hines was saying nurses are saying they've had enough. Some nurses are saying they can't take it anymore. They've had enough. Some doctors are saying that's enough. This could impact this country as far as nurses, doctors in a shortage situation.
Well, we're already in a shortage situation and have been for decades in rural parts of Arizona, as many of your listeners will know. I do believe that this is going to make things more challenging as people at the end of their career just decide to retire. And by the way, the same thing with teachers, you know, that a lot of teachers just got burned out this year and it's like they're close to retirement. And they're just going to decide to retire, even though they may have otherwise worked for some more years. And I think we're going to see that with nurses, which reinforces the importance of building out residency programs, especially residency programs that that do a lot of interprofessional training and get those residents out into the rural parts of the state so that perhaps, you know, they can practice in those parts of the state. So there are solutions to that shortage, but it takes a commitment by the state legislature and backing it up with funding to make it happen.
A lot of people are still freaking out over the variants. I'm hoping that Dr. Michael Osterholm of the University of Minnesota is an outlier when his prediction, he's an epidemiologist, widely quoted. He's often on Meet the Press. He was on a couple of weeks ago predicting that the worst of this pandemic is about 8 weeks away, and he was basing that on the fear of the variant, the UK variant. But correct me, Will, if I'm wrong here, but I don't think he's taking into consideration that we're putting vaccine in the arms of people, a lot of people every day.
Yeah, well, there's two things about that. Let me just hit the nail on the head here. Listeners, I'm telling you something. Just because you see somebody quoted a lot and just because you see somebody on Meet the Press doesn't mean that that is a credible individual. Now, I will tell you that in the public health community, Dr. Osterholm has a reputation of a limelight seeker, and he understands that the more outrageous things that you say, the more likely you'll be invited to some of these national syndicated programs and so forth. And it's just wrong. And I totally disagree with what he's saying here. Look, yes, is it possible there could be some new variants that come on? Of course that's true. But look, we are vaccinating high-risk persons. We're getting people, we're making good inroads into vaccinating people over 65. More work to be done, especially in the lower income zip codes, but we're making good progress. On top of that, we've got probably more than 20% of Arizonans have been infected with this virus and recovered. A lot of them in that 20 to 44 range, which is the demographic that really amplifies this virus in the community. And so I just think it's a disservice to all of us in the country to have persons who can't back up their statements with data to pop off like that, because it scares people. And because he has over the years cultivated a reputation of being a quote unquote national expert, I just object to that kind of talk. So I'm glad you just brought this whole topic up, because it's a sore spot with me and a lot of people in public health who are very careful to back up their statements with data and information that they know are from credible sources, and don't speculate the way that gentleman you just talked about does.
And that particular gentleman, before this prediction that the worst of the pandemic was yet to come, was advocating several weeks before that prediction that we need to abandon two shots and give everybody just one shot, giving them some protection, meaning better than none, in preparation for this wave that he sees coming.
Well, I agree and I disagree with him on that. I agree in the sense that a public health case can be made to just going with one vaccine for now, because with the shortage that we've got, if we could get more take away some of those second doses and give them to more people who haven't had their first dose, we could probably, I'm certain that we could make more progress in terms of slowing this epidemic in the short run. The fear that many public health people have, and it is possible, is that if you were to take that approach, you could have the immunity from the vaccine wane earlier than it otherwise would have, putting you at risk for kind of a summertime surge later on. So in that regard, it's worth having the public health discussion about what you described, which is suspending the second doses in favor of giving more first doses out and catching up on those second doses later. One could make that case. But in my opinion, Dr. Osterholm should make that case not by scaring people about variants that don't exist yet, but rather just presenting the concept and the idea in its own merit for the evidence that we just described.
Well, we're going to take a break right here. It's time for me to talk about my favorite bakery in town. I'm ready for comfort food after 11 months of this pandemic, and a lot of people are with me on that, and that's why Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle, is doing so well. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch. They open each morning at 6:30 for a beautiful breakfast. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. You can call ahead for your pastries. You can order them online or just show up at the bakery, and you will be, if you've not been there before, you're going to be very surprised. The beautiful variety of pastries they have, really mouth-watering. I'm always ready to go to Mona's, especially on the weekend, when I'm already thinking about right now, would a cinnamon roll do it for me on Saturday morning? I think so. Anyway, let's take a break right here, Buckmaster, with Will Humble, and Will will stick around. We'll have another segment with him, then Sharon Bronson, the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Back right after this.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined, because without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery in Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. That sounds a little bit like America and Tin Man. Great group, America. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line guests, provided by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Will Humble is with us. Will is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association, and he served as the director for the Arizona Department of Health Services from 2009 to 2015. Who was the governor, Will, at that time?
I served with Governor Brewer.
Yeah? How'd that go?
She was great to She was great to work for.
Yeah.
You know, the person that you saw on television and the person you hear on the radio is just who you see behind closed doors. There's nothing fake about her. I just really liked working with Governor Brewer. And I really appreciated her management style as well. You know, she, I would say the way she managed was she took a long time to decide whether she trusted you. But once she decided that she trusted you, then she would empower you to make decisions. And I met with her all the time and we talked about our priorities, but she was never a micromanager. She was engaged. She was always interested in our work. But she gave us the ability and the authority to, and the responsibility, you know, to make decisions and take responsibility and learn from those decisions. And so I was a terrific 6 years. I really liked it.
Yeah, I liked her. I interviewed her quite a bit on my previous life on television here in town, and always a straight shooter. Johnson & Johnson vaccine looks like it's going to be available as early next week in Arizona. It now puts into the quiver. We've got now three arrows working for us on the vaccine front. There may even be a fourth one, Will, within a couple of months. So this also goes back to our topic from segment one, which is getting more vaccine into people's arms. What about who's getting vaccinated? Are you looking at the demographics, Will Humble?
Yeah, one of the things that disturbed me from the very start was the way this appointment system was set up by the state health department in terms of that it's purely online. So you have advantages for people with Wi-Fi. It was never, well, it now has been changed in the last week or so, but it was never, you couldn't use a phone or an iPad to do the registration. So you had to use a laptop. You could only use certain browsers. And importantly, and this is still the case, when appointments come open, they open them for a very short window. I think there's going to be some openings next Monday at 9 o'clock, and they'll be gone by 10. So that means if you work at a grocery store or, you know, if you have to be somewhere, if you have your job that requires you to be at a hotel, for that hour, you will not be able to make an appointment for your mom or your abuela or whatever. You're just not, because you're at a disadvantage. Who does that disadvantage? Working people with inflexible jobs. And so from the start, I was fearful that the system was disenfranchising low-income persons. And so we started badgering the state health department to release the information that shows the zip code locations of who'd been vaccinated, and they drug their heels and they wouldn't do it, and they still haven't done it. But Maricopa County Public Health released that information, and we saw in Maricopa County a distinct disadvantage in lower income zip codes. And it's not because of vaccine hesitancy. It's because they have been disadvantaged in the way this appointment system has rolled out. And I haven't even mentioned the fact that if you are lucky enough to get an appointment, then you need to have, you can't use public transportation. These are all roll-up, drive-up vaccination centers. I will give credit to Access this week, our state Medicaid agency, who is now, for Medicaid members, going to pay for that ride to these stadium sites, or, for example, the site down on the U of A mall. So that's a good thing. But by and large, wealthier seniors are the ones who have been able to get vaccinated so far. That's not to say that some low-income seniors haven't. They have, but they're at a big disadvantage, which has been concerning me for some time now.
How would you have, you mentioned the phone. This was a huge deal that you couldn't make an appointment over the phone. Couldn't it have been set up that you could have gone online and or the phone?
Yes, it could have. Mm-hmm. They had the, now here's the thing in public health. A lot of times you are you're constrained by the money that you have. Like, you can't just set up a phone bank with no money. Like, you have to pay people to do it. The good news is there's basically unlimited money through leftover CARES Act funds, CDC money the state health department has. So that was not and has never been a limitation. They could have always had a 24/7 hotline, and they have published an 877 number where they, if you get on that, they say the recordings that you, when you're on hold, it says, we don't make appointments. I heard maybe they're changing that this week because I called them out on it. But they could have always done that. Plus, that 877 line is banker's hours. You know, it's yeah. Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. That's not a hotline. Hotlines are 24/7. And so, yes, the answer to your question is they could have always had a phone-in system. They had the resources to put that together. They simply were not interested in standing that up.
Tom has posted something here on my screen about CVS. Tom, is that right? You can make an appointment with CVS by phone at their Tucson locations. So that's worth noting there, Will.
Well, there's a bigger, it's much bigger than that. CVS did a press release, and that's how that came up. But there's a great new program called the Federal Pharmacy Program. And what it does is it's a Biden administration initiative. They're shipping vaccine directly to participating pharmacies. So in Arizona, that includes and has included Walgreens, Safeway, Fry's, Albertsons, and now they've added 8 locations at CVS. I think it's 8. There could be more than 8. And they get direct shipments, mostly of Moderna vaccine, from the federal government. And so you can bypass the state's website for registration to get those vaccines. So that's a real godsend to so many people. And there's a vaccine locator tool that I just tweeted out, Bill, and you can retweet that or put it up on your website, where it's a single one-stop shop where people can click on it and then find a local pharmacy where they can make an appointment in their neighborhood and avoid the big giant stadium type of vaccination centers and, you know, get your shot just like you'd get your shingles vaccine or your flu shot.
Where you said, what do you have the location? Can you give us the location of, you tweeted that out. Could you verbally give that to us?
Oh, let me see. Keep talking.
Okay, I will definitely keep talking.
I don't want to stall too
okay,
long,
while you're while you find that. But I was going to bring up an interesting story that I saw concerning influenza, and we've talked about this before, Will. That definitely this is going to go down in history as the lowest number of cases of influenza in the United States. Well, in many decades, and that perhaps people who took the flu shot had a less, if they did get COVID, it was a less of a reaction to the COVID.
I haven't seen any data to support that, Bill.
Okay.
You'd have to send me that.
Okay.
I haven't seen any information to suggest that. But what you said at the top was absolutely true. And it's the same thing that they saw in the Southern Hemisphere ahead of us, is that because of the distancing, because of the masks, because of all of those, the protections that people have been taking for COVID, that has worked tremendously well at slowing down, really stopping, you could say, influenza this year. So this is a case study in what we could have been doing all along during the influenza season to save lives just to, from influenza. And I think that you will see after this that even when COVID is by and large gone as a public health emergency next fall, there will be people that have gotten comfortable with wearing face coverings and masks and will keep doing that because they know it's going to be effective for influenza. Here's that that website I was talking about.
Go ahead.
It's a simple one. It's just called vaccinefinder.org. That's it.
Vaccine.
All one word.
Vaccinefinder.org.
Yeah, and it's a national website. And you put in your zip code, and then it drills down to your neighborhood. I trusted it. Tested it just before the show.
Okay.
It showed me the Walgreens in my neighborhood, and it said, little check mark, they have Moderna.
Wow. All right, Will, going to have to run. We'll talk to you next month. Thank you, sir.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. A really handy tool that Will Humble, during our interview, Will, the former head of the Arizona Department of Health, gave us this website. We were just checking it out during the break, and it's Vaccine Finder. Just the two words together, vaccinefinder.org. Really neat. You put in your zip code, and all the pharmacies that in town that stock, or some of them showing out of stock, but most are saying that they do not have the vaccine. But of this list of about 50 pharmacies that came up, maybe about 10 show that they do have vaccine in stock. So it's worth checking out if you have not been able to get an appointment and you do qualify. You are over 65. So check it out, vaccinefinder.com. Let's go now on the live line. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Sharon Bronson. Hey, Sharon.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. It's kind of neat looking at pharmacies are starting to get some stock in, and so we're getting more vaccine. I know we had some issues with the weather in Texas. Are things starting to even out a bit?
Well, every day is a new day, but at this point, we are definitely getting vaccines. There's still a challenge with the state in terms of transparency, and I'm glad that the pharmacies are getting vaccines, but we haven't, we being Pima County, have not been informed on the amounts or the way you get it done. But yeah, I have got to applaud you. The vaccinefinder.com, that's brilliant. So I'm hoping that anybody listening gets to that site, and whether they get them from a pharmacy or from our distribution centers here in Pima County, that they get them. And then I encourage everybody to get them. So thank you for that information. Yes, vaccinefinder.com. Hope you're going to post it somewhere.
Sharon, it is org.
Oh, it's org.
So I guess it's a nonprofit organization Mr. Humble.
My apologies.
That's okay.
Yes, it's .org. I'm sorry.
And it's so easy to use. You put in your zip code, and then you can say within 5 miles, within 10 miles, within 25, and it shows which pharmacy has it in stock, and then you can make your appointment right there with that particular pharmacy. And, of course, you still have to be in the particular cohort, the 65 or over.
Yeah. And I think we're both there.
Yeah, we're both there. And
okay.
And as things are improving, have you been talking at all with Dr. Garcia about dropping that down, the phase into the next level, which would, I guess, be any age group or what?
Not at this point, because as I said earlier, we don't know when we're getting the vaccines and what vaccines, but those conversations are, obviously we're having them, but can we do it? Not until we have some certainty. And the challenge for us is the lack of transparency at the state level. So, yes, we need to get people vaccinated. And at the federal level, it appears that the vaccines are coming. We just don't know how many Pima County will actually get and when we will get them. But what we want to do is, and I think we're ahead of the curve in terms of where we wanted to be at this point, we are getting the job done, getting people vaccinated. And the more vaccines we get, the more people we can vaccinate, and the sooner we can drop the age level down.
And testing is still free in Pima County it's free for the vaccine, as far as a COVID test.
At this point, with the money that we, yes. The answer, quick answer, yes. the money the governor gave us, we are going to be continuing the testing, and I encourage and the board encourages people to get tested. We want to get to herd immunity as soon as we can. We're headed in the right direction. The number of COVID is dropping. The COVID infections are dropping. So that's, the news is good at this level. But again, we still worry how many vaccines we're getting and when we're getting them.
Let's switch gears and put COVID aside for a moment. This news that came down that a Pima County Superior Court judge ruled that Pima County complied with Arizona's gift clause law when it provided economic incentives to Worldview in 2016 to retain the company in Pima County. Worldview is a high-altitude balloon technology company headquartered south of the Tucson airport. This legal action goes back, it was first filed by the Goldwater Institute, Sharon Bronson, in 2016. Is this the last we're going to hear of this or what?
I would certainly hope so. I hope this is the end of the Goldwater Institute and it doesn't waste further money on its donors. This was a specious, politically motivated lawsuit. We were very careful to comply with the law when drafting this agreement with Worldview. And I think the court ruling has proven that. Now, the unfortunate piece, in my view, is that we can't recover attorney's costs. But this has cost taxpayers. Let's stop playing this game in court, and let's start bringing more good-paying jobs to the county and solidify us as one of the key centers of aerospace technology, innovation, and manufacturing.
All right, let's pause right here. We'll be back with Sharon Bronson. We're going to take our break right here. When we come back, I want to talk about criminal justice reform. We have Laura Conover, Pima County attorney, with us on the program for our Friday Focus interview. We'll be back on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. It's really been a beautiful winter, temperature-wise, with temps, daytime highs, mid-60s to upper 70s generally. So it's been very, very pleasant this winter. We haven't had any rain virtually other than one rain event. But where I'm getting at with all of this is our gardens are looking, they're looking pretty good. And if you're looking for some color for the spring, well, Green Things, 50 years they've been providing a great service into year 51, into the next half century at 3384 East River Road, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. They're open daily. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. While you're there, stop by Zocalo Village. They've got a collection of about five standalone buildings on the property. Full of some really interesting things, Talavera pottery, antiques, handmade furniture. It's a great combination, Green Things and Zocalo Village. Their website for Zocalo Village is zocalovillage.com. And Silver City is also a great sponsor of ours, and we are patiently waiting for New Mexico to kind of reopen the state to tourism. Like Tucson and like Arizona, their numbers, caseload numbers over in New Mexico have been really dropping pretty darn dramatically. So we're expecting, hopefully very soon, that the governor up in Santa Fe will decide that to open tourism again, and that means you'll be able to jump in the car, take that three-hour drive over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. So now would be a great time to start your planning. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find a list of great places to stay and all sorts of things to do. Sharon Bronson, the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, is with us on the live line. And Sharon, I do want to give that website again, because a lot of people are very interested. A website that Will Humble, the former Arizona Health Director, announced here on the program that he found very helpful. And we looked it up, and it looks like it's very easy to use. It's Vaccine Finder, the two words together, .org. Then just put in your zip code, and you will be able to determine if pharmacies in your particular area have some stock of both of the vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna. So that's a very handy tool. And Sharon, you might want to pass that that along to our health department people here in Pima County as well.
I certainly will. And my apologies for saying .com instead of .org.
That's all right.
My mistake.
There you go.
You know, like I make them all the time.
No, right? No. They're, so it's apparently a nonprofit that's running this, and they do have the org on the end of Vaccine Finder. Tomorrow, I'll be looking forward to visiting with Laura Conover. Laura has some very interesting ideas, Sharon Bronson, about criminal justice reform. And this is a real departure from the leadership that you have dealt with and did deal with for many years in the Pima County Attorney's Office. So far, do you like what you're hearing from Laura's office?
Okay, I have to do a full disclosure thing here, Bill.
Okay.
I supported Laura when she ran, so I am clearly
a partisan.
Kind of biased.
A partisan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but what is she doing? Even before I worked with Laura, one of the things I noticed as a Pima County supervisor is that 60% of our budget went to criminal justice system, which are the courts, the county attorney, the public defender, not only superior court, but justice court. And the number kept growing and growing and growing. And what I saw was that nothing was changing except how much money we expended. There wasn't necessarily justice, but it was eating up a large part of our budget, which could have gone to roads. It should have gone to roads, parks, libraries, in my view. But the number kept growing year after year. So I'm hopeful, and what I've seen, that our county attorney Conover has done is she's addressing some of the criminal justice issues that need to be addressed. And it's that we've got people in jail that could be, that aren't putting our community at risk, and they're costing us. So I think she's making some reforms that I certainly support. But again, disclosure, I supported her in the election, but yes, I think we're headed in the right direction, reducing the cost of criminal justice while ensuring public safety. What do you think?
Well, it's a departure, and I remember Steve Neely. That's how far back I go in the community. And then Steve was the a longtime Pima County attorney. Then Barbara LaWall, a disciple of Neely's, came along, and Barbara was in there for what, almost 25 years, like a quarter of a century. And this is a departure because I think under the Neely LaWall leadership, it was pretty much, if you did a crime, you're going to jail. That I know I'm simplifying it, but kind of a real tough on crime type situation. And I think Laura's maybe taking a second look about who we do wind up incarcerating. Did I accurately portray that?
I think you did. And, the other piece that's changed is that now we've decriminalized marijuana. And many of the individuals we see in our jails are people of color in there for low-level offenses that aren't threatening anybody. And taxpayers are paying for that. And we could be using those monies to make some interesting and, like fixing our roads, like doing some other things, but also just changing the paradigm. Our jails are filled, and to what end?
You know, I wanted to kind of go back here in the remaining couple of minutes. We haven't talked about the county's budget situation. We did talk about not being reimbursed for COVID testing. But generally, how is Pima County's budget? Are we going to get some money from the feds to cover a lot of these problems with that we've been having to deal with COVID?
The challenge there, and that's an excellent question, the challenge there is, yeah, I think the money is coming down from the federal government, but it's going to the state government. So it's going to be on the state to determine who gets what and how we're reimbursed. And we don't have answers yet. Again, at the state level, and we've had this with the vaccines and with the money for testing, we don't know from one day to the other what's happening. There isn't the transparency. There isn't the accountability. So what we are doing at the Board of Supervisors level is asking our federal delegation to send the money directly to jurisdictions, not going through the state. We need answers. I don't know when we're going to get them. But again, if this the money comes to the state and then gets reshuffled to the various counties and towns and cities, I don't know what that's going to mean for our budget. It's just not reliable, and we are already in a hole. So, again, please just give the money directly to the entities that are going to need it, and not have a middleman and eliminate the state in that distribution would be my view, but I'm sure other people have different views.
The early childhood education, $10 million that the board on a 3-2 vote said that they would like to put toward early childhood education, that is contingent, isn't it, on how the budget picture concerning COVID plays out?
It certainly is from my point of view, and obviously we all know that early childhood education is important, but so is all-day kindergarten, and the state has failed time and time again in addressing that. It is their responsibility, not individual jurisdictions, whether they're counties, cities, or towns. And it's just disappointing that this state legislature is not focusing on education, it's not focusing on COVID, but is focusing on trying to make sure people can vote. And what they're focusing on instead of the things that matter, economic recovery from COVID, and then our public infrastructure that is crumbling, whether it's at the ADOT level or the local levels, their priorities are certainly not the priorities of local jurisdictions.
All right, Sharon Bronson, thank you very much. Hope you have a great rest of the day, Sharon. Thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
Sharon Bronson with us on the Buckmaster Show. And again, if you're wondering about what we talked about earlier, it's VaccineFinder, the two words, .org. And we find that to be a very, very helpful source that we have just discovered where you can, which pharmacies in town have the vaccine. So it's a real easy to use tool and might help some people out. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of engineer producer Tom Fairbanks and our whole team here at Bustos Media Tucson, we'll be back with you 12:04, our Friday Focus interview tomorrow with Laura Conover, Pima County Attorney. Be right back in 23 hours.